Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks, Howard. We're 2 hours away from kickoff for the Buffalo Bills and the Indianapolis Colts. It'll be Derek Anderson's first start at quarterback for the Bills. The injury report for Buffalo, Josh Allen and Tywan Jones out for today's game, while Ray-Ray McCloud did not travel with the team for a non-injury reason. As for the Colts, tight end Jack Doyle, running back Robert Turbin, receiver Ryan Grant, safety Clayton Gethers, and defensive lineman Denico Autry out for Indianapolis today. We'll have wall-to-wall coverage of Bills and Colts all day, leading up to the 1 p.m. kickoff from Lucas Oil Stadium with John Murphy, Mark Kelso, and Sal Capaccio on the call on the Buffalo Bills radio network. Around the NFL, it is halftime in London between the Chargers and the Titans. It's L.A., the Chargers with the 10-6 lead over Tennessee, thanks to a Phillip Rivers 75-yard touchdown pass to Tyrell Williams on what was L.A.'s first offensive play of the day. And then field goals after that between the two teams. The Dolphins open to trading receiver Devontae Parker as the trade deadline draws closer. NFL Network's Tom Pelissero reporting that Miami's looking for a third-round pick for Parker. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport is reporting that the Jaguars might activate running back Carlos Hyde today, this coming after just trading for him back on Friday. ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting, meanwhile, that Jacksonville is not looking into trading for a quarterback, remaining committed to Blake Bortles under center. Bears pass rusher Khalil Mack and receiver Allen Robinson both likely to play against the Patriots today. As for New England, they will not have tight end Rob Gronkowski for this game. The Patriots will look to have him return in Week 8 against the Bills. New England should, though, have Sony Michel, Julian Edelman, and Josh Gordon in their lineup today. Jets running back Isaiah Crowell is expected to play today against the Vikings. Meanwhile, Redskins running back Chris Thompson is not expected to suit up against the Cowboys. This update is brought to you by ExpressSmart. Be listening at halftime and during postgame for the ExpressSmart stats of the game. Check it out, ExpressSmart's pizza loyalty program. Buy four pizzas, get one free. ExpressSmart, home of the $5.99 pizza. I'm Derek Kramer for the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Howard, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Kramer, and we'll get to your calls in a moment. We are also going out to Indianapolis. Sal Capaccio will be on the sidelines today at Lucas Oil Stadium. He's out at the stadium getting ready for the game, which reminds me to remind you that you can catch Sal all season long as he takes you behind the scenes on Bills game day at Sal's All Access Facebook Live. You will find it at WGR's Facebook page. It is brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Sal is joining us right now. So, Mr. Capaccio, when you take us behind the scenes, what are we talking? Like, you know, what the media gets to eat on game day or what?
Actually, kind of interesting you asked me that today, because what I did today, if you saw, I was here very early this morning, actually. Mm-hmm.
I saw your tweets.
Yeah, I was here very early this morning, and what I did was there was an empty press box. So I came up here, and people have seen the radio booth, but I really like to kind of judge certain press boxes. You go to different stadiums, it's all totally different the way they're laid out. This one's really cool. It's nice. I like it when it's easy, accessible, you know, accessible to the food, especially. good sight lines to the field, accessible to the restrooms. And you get a sense of people don't know. And if they're listening or they're, you know, watching at home, most people don't understand, like, maybe the writing press, how they're set up, how they're aligned, how it looks up here. So I gave them a little taste of that today. It was pretty cool. So I walked through the press box and showed all of that. So, yes, I did show where the food goes.
You know, you tweeted a picture out, you know, of the view from the broadcast booth. And I want to say, you'd know more because you're around the league now. I haven't gotten around in years. I know in Indy, for example, in the old stadium, the press box was pretty close, like middle of the stands was close. Now it feels like, Sal, wherever you go, the press boxes are at the top of the stadium, as opposed to, say, like New Era Field, where you're not that far away from the action.
We were just having that discussion up here with John Murphy and our engineer Greg Harvey, and you know, Murph said that. He said, I feel like, you know, pretty much this is standard to be this high now.
Yeah.
And the more we go around, like Murph said, the more we go around to different stadiums, the Bills have a really, really nice broadcast area. It's much lower. It's easy to see. It's right at the 50-yard line. Gillette Stadium, I would say, might be the best in the league for this. They're actually very low. It helps you behind the visitor's bench. So for us from visiting radio, you know, you're not behind the home team bench. You're behind the visitor bench. So that helps you look on the sidelines and see what's going on down there, obviously, if you're John Murphy or Mark Kelso from up here. But it is the standard more now to see these really high up press boxes like we have here, like we had in Houston. Kansas City is really high up. The Jets is really high up. You do get some that are lower ones, but some of the ones that are lower are also tucked away in corners. You don't like that. Washington, right. Miami, you know, they're just not good sight lines from the corners.
Yeah. Now, in terms of today's game, clearly, Sal, we're all wondering about Derek Anderson and how he's going to do today. What do you even expect? What are you thinking about is fair to expect from Derek Anderson, who, you know, up until about 2 weeks ago was hanging out with his family?
Look, I think because he's been in this league 13 years, you know, he's done this before. It's kind of like riding a bike, I'd say, even though he hasn't been on that bike in a little while. You know, he knows what it's like to play in the NFL. He understands what he needs to do. I think he understands his strengths and his limitations, especially coming into a situation where he's just learning the playbook. And he's not going to try and do too much, whereas, you know, hey, we can open up the playbook and try all these different things. I think one of the things that really helps him, we haven't talked about a lot, Howard, this week, is he has a veteran offensive coordinator as well. Now, granted, Brian Daboll's in his first year in Buffalo, but he's been a coordinator now. This is his fourth NFL team he's been a coordinator with: Cleveland, Kansas City, Miami, now Buffalo. He's been a coordinator, obviously, at the college level. He worked with Bill Belichick for a long time. I think having a guy like that who understands and he's been through situations where guys have been injured, you've had to get guys up to speed quickly and things like that, I think that helps Derek Anderson and him come up with a game plan. What do I expect? I expect Derek Anderson to keep this offense much more on schedule, to get rid of the ball, to give his guys more of a chance. If he can get to, 225, 230 yards passing, I think that would be a big win for this Bills offense.
If he gets to 200 yards passing, I might go out and play the lottery because the Bills are averaging 123. But I think it's an interesting point, Sal. Like you said, we were talking about this last hour. You know, you can be skeptical because the guy has been, he's been a backup and he was out of football essentially, but he should be able to do things pre-snap and digest and process things that Josh Allen couldn't do because he's a rookie. And maybe there were plays out there, granted not necessarily, but passing completions and yards out there that Josh Allen wasn't able to get, the old take what they're giving you stuff, and maybe Anderson now gets that ball out and pulls the trigger, whereas Josh Allen might not have done that when he was out there.
Yeah, and look, I mean, he's going against a defense that will give him that opportunity today. This is not a really good defense, especially, you know, against the pass. If you take a look at some of the rankings for the Indianapolis Colts, they come in here 26th in the league against the pass, 24th in passing yards per play. They've gotten to the quarterback a little bit better this year, more early on in the year. They've gotten to some footballs, you know, interceptions. That's also a product of teams having to throw on them to, you know, keep up with the higher scoring offense that they have. But this is a defense that will give you opportunity. So it's not like he's walking in here taking on the Ravens, right? He's not like he's walking in here, you know, taking on, really unbelievable stout defense that, you know, is time after time giving people frustrations and fits. He's coming in here against a defense that will give him opportunities to actually throw the football down the field.
It's not like he's taking on the Bills defense, which has been great the last four games. Now, so look, there's a lot of pressure on the Bills defense. They know that the offense is struggling and there isn't a lot of margin for error, even less margin if the special teams has a game like last week. Is there a magic number today? If you're playing defense, Sal, sure, you want to have a shutout, obviously, but is there a number in your mind that you're thinking, boy, we can't let Indy get beyond blank?
Look, I mean, the goal is to hold every team to 17 and under. That's the standard goal. That's what Kyle Williams even talked about on the radio with the guys. I think against this defense, this offense, that's still your goal. I just think that's a little harder to attain. So I think you go maybe really low 20s. Can you 22 maybe, 23 at the most? If you can do that, maybe you have a shot. Maybe you can score in the mid-20s. The Bills, we know that they're not averaging much. The points per game for their offense, not good this year. They're last in almost every statistical category that matters. But I do think they have an opportunity to get into the 20s today. So we'll see. They're going to have a big play here or there to do it. Maybe the defense will help out along the way. The Colts have actually given up a defensive touchdown each of the past 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So maybe the way the Bills are taking the ball away, that can help. Look, the game script, the line is 7, maybe 7.5. I haven't looked at it recently. And I was thinking about this, Howard. 7.5 means, you know, if the Bills can get to the 20s, that means you're mid-20s. That means the Colts would have to get to 32,
yeah,
something like that. And, you know, I just don't know if they can do that. So, you know, talking in those terms as far as what the spread is, you know, I think the Bills can at least keep this game closer than most people think and give themselves an opportunity to win.
Let's get the injury report in here, Sal, brought to you by Celino and Barnes. Celino and Barnes injured. Don't wait. Call or text 8.
Well, we don't know yet the inactives except for one. Ray McLeod did not make the trip to Indianapolis for a non-injury reason. We have not gotten any word from Sean McDermott. He'll be asked about it after the game, I'm sure, whether he reveals any information. Look, this is a different situation than just, hey, he's not going to play, so we're leaving him home. Lots of guys don't play who are inactive every week, but they're here. They work out on the field. So there's something more to this. Whether that's a disciplinary issue, we don't know, but that could be what's going on here. We'll find out, hopefully, a little more after today. And then the rest of the injury report. Still pretty clean, except for, of course, the big one, Josh Allen, who was hurt last week. He's out today. Tywan Jones is out today. Everyone else should be good to go. We'll find out the inactives here at 11:30.
All right. We'll delve into a little fantasy football with you in about 10 minutes.
I'll be ready.
Thank you, Sal. Okay. Sal, of course, on the sidelines today for the matchup with the Bills and the Colts. Let's get to some calls, too. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. We'll see the inactives for Indy. Jack Doyle is out. He's been out. It's their top tight end target, although Eric Ebron is having a career year with 6 touchdowns. It looks like T.Y. Hilton's going to play, and that's a plus for Indianapolis getting him back in the offense. He had missed a couple of games, so inactives coming out for both teams at the bottom of the hour. Casey in Rochester, welcome to Countdown to Kickoff. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was just thinking, I remember earlier in the preseason, we did have 3 quarterbacks, and we made it a giant competition to see who was going to be the starter. Don't you think it would have been a smart move to keep all 3 of those instead of bringing in a quarterback now? Sure, he's a veteran, but he's got to relearn the whole playbook and everything.
I think a couple things. Whether it's McCarron or for whatever reason, I thought for sure McCarron would be here. I actually thought McCarron would end up being the starter, if anything, by default. But if for some reason you felt it wasn't working out, there was no need to keep A.J. McCarron, the morning after the Baltimore game, you should have been out looking for Derek Anderson or, I don't know, Matt Moore. Name a guy. Name somebody who's out there. A veteran quarterback who could have come in here and done the whole mentor thing. Just put yourself, give yourself an option. If you knew you were going with Josh Allen in week 2, to have something beyond Josh Allen and Nathan Peterman. Now, again, maybe the Bills looked at it and thought, not that they would say this, you know, when Bean and McDermott are asked about the season and everything, they never say we're not rebuilding, we're not wired that way, we're about wins. Maybe they, you know, they look at it and go, okay, this is a growth year, all that other stuff, so why waste a roster spot on it? I would have had a guy here, another option, so you never got to the point where you only had Nathan Peterman to come off the bench. Yes, I would have kept A.J. McCarron, as I said. If you still thought, nope, he's not that good, we'll trade him, we'll get a day 3 pick for him, then go find another veteran to be on the roster, put Peterman on the practice squad, do whatever you had to do the morning after the Ravens loss to have an option other than Nathan Peterman behind Josh Allen. I think that's something that, you know, it just was a miscalculation. I think they really mishandled the whole quarterback situation this season. Let's get to Jim in Virginia next. Jim, you're on Countdown to Kickoff.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I want to talk about why can't the Bills put together a good offense and a good defense in the same regime? I mean, coming out of the Dick Geron, Trent Edwards era where both sides of the ball were flat, we were so excited to have Chan Gailey and this offense that was putting up, you know, 30, 35 points a game, and they were still going 4-12, 6-10 because the defense couldn't do anything. Dave wants it, and that defense was terrible. You bring in the next regime, and suddenly we've got this amazing defense and no offense. And it just doesn't make sense to me. Then Rex comes in and destroys the awesome defense that we had in place before that. This current regime, we've got a great defense. We've got a terrible offense. And the only thing that I can even think of is that during regime change, these guys are coming in and blowing up the entire team when they should be keeping the pieces that are working. I mean, McDermott last year comes in and they implement an awesome defense. And they actually kept some of the pieces of the prior offense with, you know, Tyrod, but they ship away Sammy Watkins. They make some changes that just don't work. And I really wish the next time a regime has to change that maybe they'll keep some of the pieces that worked in place and just focus on what didn't.
Well, the easy part of the answer, thanks for the call, Jim. The easy part of the answer is they've never had a quarterback. So, you know, for the last 20 years, for the most part, with very few exceptions, Bledsoe for a little bit, half a season with Fitz, we've pretty much, you have had good enough defenses at points in these last 20 years, but you've never had a quarterback. So your offense is usually not very good. So the whole why can't we ever get it together is because they have yet to find a quarterback essentially to succeed Jim Kelly. So that's the easiest part of the answer. Some of it is, you know, a GM will come in and their scheme changes. You know, maybe you go from a 3-4 to a 4-3, whatever. You switch your defenses around. GMs will come in and, you know, they're going to want to put the roster together the way they feel. They're going to move guys out, maybe previous draft picks, and change the roster up. Certainly, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have put their stamp, I shouldn't say have, because it's still a work in progress, are putting their stamp on this roster, and that meant parting ways with a lot of players brought in by Doug Whaley and the previous regime. So, that happens. The GM comes in, and they want to put their guys in place. And maybe the coach comes in and says, you know, we're going to change the offensive scheme, or we're going to change the defensive scheme, because I believe that we get this done in another fashion. And one of the other reasons why they can't put these things together, why, is because they're constantly changing. They're constantly firing coaches. You don't win, so coaches are fired after 3 or 4 years. And eventually GMs get fired. You know, it's Donahoe, it's Levy, it's Russ Brandon, it's Doug Whaley. When you don't win, you change. When you change, you're typically changing up your roster and or changing up your schemes on one side of the football. And that's part of the mess that has been the Buffalo Bills for the last 20 years as well. Jim, thank you very much. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. So today, I want to go through quickly some of the storylines, and we'll get to Sal a little bit for fantasy advice. Look, there's a big picture today. Believe it or not, I mean, the big storyline, of course, is Derek Anderson. There are two main storylines, I should say. On offense, it's Derek Anderson. What does he do? Does he look competent? Can he make some plays that Josh Allen and Nathan Peterman couldn't make because, you know, Derek Anderson's a veteran. He's been there, done that. He's just going to be more equipped to better handle some things today and make some plays. And obviously on the defensive side of the ball, the main story is, can these guys continue playing at the level they've been at the last four games? Can they keep Andrew Luck and an explosive passing offense in check enough for the Bills to win the football game today? But there is a big picture issue as well. And this is a big game from this standpoint. I'm not sitting here talking about, you know, can the Bills contend for a wild card and be, quote, in the hunt. I'm just talking about the season not feeling like it's over first week of November. This is the most winnable game in the next three. After this, you all know what's on the schedule. And in the next game, it's a week from Monday. It's a Monday nighter at home against the New England Patriots. And after that, it's Chicago. And, you know, granted, the Bears last week, I don't know what happened to their defense, but somehow Brock Osweiler had a massive game against them. But the Bills will be underdogged in the next two games. If they lose today, you know, you're looking at the possibility of 2-7, and we're talking draft in the first week in November. So the big picture is win the game that is the most winnable of the next three. You know, get to 3-4. And honestly, in light of everything that's happened around here, five games on the road, Peterman starts, Allen's in, Allen's hurt, historically bad offense, all the stuff that's happened, 3-4 would somewhat be miraculous, I guess, for this team. So get the win today, because you need to at least just keep the football season alive in some way, shape, or form on a weekly basis. Granted, again, as I said, the main story outside of that, of course, is Derek Anderson. Does the offense look any better? Can he get the ball out? Can he find some open receivers? Can he move this passing game along? Could you actually possibly maybe cross your fingers and legs, get to 200 passing yards a game, which really isn't really a lot to ask for in the NFL in this day and age. But since the Bills average 123 passing yards a game, that would be significant progress. We expect the Bills, I think, to run the ball a lot today. LeSean McCoy has gotten more touches the last couple games against Tennessee for sure, and then Houston. So we'll see if McCoy in the running game can get going today. Is it going to be a run-heavy game plan? I don't think so. I don't think, like, think back to the Titans game. They ran the ball 43 times, and they passed it 20. I don't think it'll be that heavy, but sure, I'm expecting, 20 to 25 touches for LeSean McCoy today. It's possible, if Derek Anderson can get things going, you could make some plays against that pass defense. Sal mentioned it a moment ago. Look, The Colts pass defense has had some issues. They're playing some young guys, some first and second year guys in the defensive secondary. They've given up a ton of passing yards the last three games. They made Sam Darnold look really good last week. Darnold was completing 55% of his passes. Last week he hit 80%. He was 24 of 30. You know, two games prior to that, the same Houston Texans team that the Bills defense just whooped and made, you know, they made Deshaun Watson and the Texans offense look terrible. That team put up 30 plus points against Indianapolis. So there are plays to be made, I think, in the passing offense against that secondary. They've got a good pass rush, but I think you can make plays against that secondary if Derek Anderson can throw the ball effectively enough today. Defensively, real quick before we get to Sal for fantasy advice. Yeah, the pressure's on you guys. You know, and it's going to continue to be on you guys to carry this team, to keep them in games, to have little or no room for error, maybe even to score a defensive touchdown like the Jets did last week against the Colts, to keep the score down as much as possible. Can't ask much more from them. They've done everything pretty much but score on a regular basis. They're stopping the run. They're getting to the quarterback. They're getting sacks. They're getting takeaways. Everything has looked tremendous these last four games. You have to do it again today. You can't let Andrew Luck go wild because clearly this team's not going to win in a score fest. I think you got to hold Indianapolis to under 20 points. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. That's reality football. We always like to help you out with some last-minute fantasy football advice. And for that, we go back to Indianapolis. Sal is standing by. His fantasy segment brought to you by Geico. Saving you money on car insurance has been in Geico's playbook for over 75 years. After the game, get a quote at geico.com. Geico, so easy, a caveman can do it. Sal, my advice is to play Philip Rivers today. Yeah, I'm going to go with that.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a good game against Tennessee.
My advice, don't play Josh Rosen this week. Is that good advice?
That's the Arizona Cardinals and the Bills are battling for the worst offense in the league. It's quite a battle.
Yeah, if I knew that, I'd be playing a lot of different contests if I knew what would happen, you know, and I could go with it after the game actually started. Here's some games that haven't started and things you could do this week. I think every week it seems like I'm telling you to play Tyler Boyd. If he's not in your lineup by now, I don't know what you've been waiting for. He has emerged as a really big play threat and a guy that gets a lot of volume for Andy Dalton, that offense. In fact, he has two 100-yard games and a 90-plus yard game in three of his past six, and the Chiefs are just dreadful against the pass. They allow the 11th most fantasy points to wide receivers, 27th overall against the pass. Boyd had two touchdowns last week. He'll probably find the end zone again this week. And our old friend Robert Woods is really having a nice season with Jared Goff and that Rams offense. They have so many weapons, but Robert Woods has kind of emerged as maybe the top receiving weapon that they have, believe it or not, in that offense. And he's going against the Niners this week, 25th against the pass, 279 yards passing. Robert Woods has a 100-yard game in three of his past four. He'll probably get to four out of five this week.
Hey, Mr. Capaccio, how loud do you think it's going to be in Indy today? I don't even know. Is that considered a loud stadium?
You know, it traditionally, the old one wasn't really that loud, and then this one I think can get loud at times, but I don't think it's known as one of the more noisy venues, to be quite honest with you. So, you know, the nice Midwest folk, they like to enjoy their games and sit down and watch and be nice to each other and polite. Let's hope that's the case when the Bills have the ball.
Very good. All right, we'll talk to you on the roundtable. Thank you, Sal.
All right,
let's
no problem. Thank
polite.
You.
That was good. I just got that one. Yeah, Sal with us here again, giving you fantasy advice brought to you by Geico. Saving you money on car insurance. Well, Midwesterners, they are polite, right? Saving you money on car insurance has been in Geico's playbook for over 75 years. After the game, get a quote at geico.com. Geico, so easy, a caveman could do it. Joe, can I sneak in another call before we hit our break? Is that all right? All right. I don't do anything without Joe's approval. Let me get to Lee in Buffalo. Lee, you're on Countdown to Kickoff. Go right ahead. Nope. No Lee? Okay. He went bye-bye? Okay. We'll get to the break. Hey, football season is federal meat season. Fall is definitely here, so you might want to try a little fall comfort food like Federal's own stuffed pork chops or stuffed pork roast. If you're up for trying something new, try Federal's Panko and Asiago crusted pork chops. Game day and every day, Federal makes it special. Taste the difference. Fresh makes at Federal Meats. Our roundtable is on the way next. Sal, Chris Brown, Mark Kelso, yours truly. We will delve deep into the Bills-Colts matchup coming up. It is Countdown to Kickoff on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Oh, you know, D.A.'s just, the day he got here, he's just a true professional and came a little late to the party, but he's been in his playbook and he's been in the meeting rooms and he's done his due diligence and he had a good day of practice yesterday, so I think he's ready to go.
There's Bills fullback Patrick DeMarco. He's on with us on Friday talking about D.A. Derek Anderson. We're going to get to the roundtable in a moment. So the inactives, definitely the Colts win in terms of key players who are inactive today. The Bills inactives are Ray McCloud. That's not injury-related. He was left home on the trip by the Bills. Josh Allen, Tywan Jones. We'll see who handles some return. Maybe Marcus Murphy will handle returns today. He's active. Ryan Lewis, Ike Butker, Connor McDermott, Wyatt Teller. Among the inactives for the Colts, tight end Jack Doyle, he's been out. I think this is his fifth straight game he's missed. Ryan Grant, receiver. Denzel Good, right tackle. Also, defensive tackle Denico Autry and safety Clayton Gathers. So, number of key players missing for Indianapolis with the inactives. It is the roundtable portion of Countdown to Kickoff, brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. They have the training. All they need is you. My name is Howard Simon here in studio, and we're going out to Indianapolis. We'll be joined, of course, by our usual roundtable crew, Sal Capaccio, who will be on the sidelines for today, Mark Kelso, Bills radio analyst, and from BuffaloBills.com, lead journalist Chris Brown. Good morning once again, gentlemen. I got to tell you, I'm beginning to take this personal, this whole thing about road games all the time. I'm thinking you guys have an axe to grind against me. I never see you anymore.
Oh, we just miss you terribly.
Okay.
Terribly, Howard. Yeah, we're looking forward to next week. There's no question about that.
I could hear the
just
emotion
the opportunity
in your voice.
To sit beside you and absorb all of that outstanding knowledge pregame is fantastic.
I could hear the emotion choked back in your voice there, Mark.
Well, and I do. We certainly enjoy being out in front of the AdPro Sports Center, right? And that's
there
what it's called. And,
that's right, yes.
And we certainly enjoy that. And having some fan engagement along the way in here in the pregame as opposed to standing here in the radio booth and looking out at the field of players warming up. I would prefer that the view in Buffalo much to the view in Indianapolis today.
Me too. Guys, I want to actually start you with a Bills by the numbers, okay? We're going to do one right off the bat. It is brought to you by AXA Advisors. Take the next step for your financial future today. Your first set of numbers is this. An average of 123 yards per game, 50% completion, 3 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Those would be?
That's Bills quarterback numbers.
That would
right?
be the that would be the Bills passing game numbers this season. And it because, of course, we're going to talk about Derek Anderson. That is the big story of the game today. So, Mark, let me start with you. What can Derek Anderson bring to this offense that Josh Allen and or Nathan Peterman could not?
Well, I think he can bring some calmness and he can bring some clarity and he can also bring some quick decision making. And I think that they will be, along with Derek Anderson and the coaching staff, I mean, they will talk about what things that he feels really comfortably executing, and they will scheme the offensive playbook this week and the play card to fit his skill set and what he feels comfortable executing. And I think, again, the biggest thing for me is the decision-making process and the opportunity to not think the situation is too big for him, because he's been in plenty of pretty reasonably big situations. And his most meaningful time coming, in 2016, I think he played five games. And I think he'll be comfortable in that situation, and I think he'll be able to make quick decisions. He's going to get rid of the ball when somebody's open and not hold it and look for somebody else, and I think that will be beneficial to this Bills offensive unit.
Chris, would you think that's one of the – I think that's one of the biggest things that we'll see. I think it got to the point with Josh Allen. There were plays where guys were open, and he wasn't necessarily pulling the trigger for whatever reason. With Derek Anderson, you know, with his being a veteran, whether you're playing or not, I mean, he has been out on the field. He's got 47 starts. Pre-snap, processing, getting the ball out, taking, so to speak, what the defense is giving you, he should be able to bring that to the table, right?
Yes, and one of the main reasons why is because he doesn't have the same legs that Josh Allen has. He has to trust and get the ball out and trust the receivers to make plays for him, because making plays with his legs really isn't an option. I'm not saying he's a statue, but he's not Josh Allen as a guy that can be mobile and get away from trouble. And if anything, I think that is what kind of served as a detractor for Josh's passing development, his legs, because he knows he can run and get yardage, and instead of being patient in the pocket and waiting that extra half second and delivering a football to a receiving target that comes open, he trusts his legs more right now than he does you know, reading the defense or trusting a receiver to be in the right place at the right time. So instead of hanging in there and then delivering the football, he'll say, well, I know I can get these 5 yards with my legs. I'm just going to run.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think that's where his mind is right now. So I'm not happy that he's injured.
Right.
But I am happy that he's sitting and taking a breath here. Murph and I were going around and around this week about whether it was better that he sits or better that he keeps playing. And Murph says he's got to play. He's not going to develop unless he plays. I thought this week, even if he was healthy, he should have sat and just watch for a week, take a breath, get a different perspective, and then come back and play the next week. Because I really think he had to step away from the game for at least a week. This injury might make it more than that, which is not what I was looking for him. But, yes, Derek should bring a better functionality, if anything else, to the passing game.
I wanted to – can I follow up on that? Because we had that same discussion on Monday. And I, you know, I'm all for – I'm a big proponent of – I'm not as big on mental reps as I am on actual physical reps. Like, you need to go out there and experience reading the defenses and reacting to what they're doing to you. But I thought about it Sunday. If he doesn't get injured, I was fully prepared Monday to come in and say, it's time to take him off the field and just let him get a breath. Because I thought from Green Bay to Tennessee to Houston, he had reached the point where now I believed he was becoming gun-shy. And he wasn't making plays that were there to be made. Not big chunk plays, but just some small little throws that could help the offense move. And I thought, maybe it's too much for him. Maybe there is something to getting him off the field now. And as you said, Chris, now it's a moot point, and I don't want him to get hurt. Let me get both of your thoughts on that. Chris, you kind of just said it. But, Mark, let me ask you. Were you reaching a point where you thought, you know, maybe the reps are not a good thing because, you know, there's more bad than good now. It's time to step away a little bit?
Well, I always thought from the get-go that they needed to have a veteran quarterback in the room in case that situation presented itself. And kind of thought that A.J. McCarron going in without even really seeing him play very much, that would be the veteran presence they would have. And that didn't unfold quite that way. But you need a veteran presence in the room. There's no question about that. I do think, I mean, I'm going to vacillate between these two guys, between Chris and Murph, because you do learn by playing. There's no question about that. So when you take the reins at quarterback, there's going to be a growth process, and you're not going to do everything well as you do in practice. And we've seen that from a lot of other quarterbacks. They look really good in practice, and they get in the game, and the game's too fast for them, and they can't make decisions because they're hamstrung by a couple things. As Bronnie said, if you have legs that you can escape with, you're hamstrung by that because you want to be able to escape instead of trusting your arm in certain situations. But you need to be able to, it's about getting the ball out on time. I mean, look, if you look at those guys, I mean, look at the guys in the league who have done that for years, and they're some of the best quarterbacks, so understandably have a really good skill set. But Tom Brady doesn't wait, buddy. You know, if there's somebody open, that ball's gone. It's gone in 1.7 seconds or less than two, and a lot of times Josh was holding it to 2.5. And once you get past 2.2, 2.3, I mean, it's you're asking for trouble. You're asking to use your legs. While I would disagree that if Josh Allen was healthy, I still think he would be playing today. Down the road, that may have happened had he not sustained an injury, because Derek Anderson would have been more up to speed and prepared to take the reins. But I think it happened a little bit more quickly than even the Bills coaching staff probably would have appreciated it happening with the injury to Josh.
We'll talk a little bit more about the offense in a moment and the plan today to try and beat the Indianapolis Colts. Make sure you're listening for the ECMC Halftime Show with Nate Geary. ECMC, go where the Bills go. Nate and Sal will recap the key moments of the first half, bring you up to date with the Express Mart stats of the game. Express Mart, not your average convenience store. It's the roundtable portion of Countdown to Kickoff. Sal, Mark, Chris, yours truly. More coming up in a moment. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Things just naturally slow down as you play. So as you come with experience, things just get, you know, slower for you. You're able to grasp things more. You know, your rookie season, a lot of things thrown at you. You know, you're put in there fast. You're playing and thinking a whole lot possibly, or whatever the case is. For me, I've just gained more confidence as I've gone along and just got back to being Zay, the person I am, the player that I am, and just going out and competing. So now I just do the best that I can moving forward.
That is Zay Jones, the second-year Bills wide receiver. He was on with Murph and Steve on One Bills Live this week, coming off he's having an improved season for sure. And he had a beautiful touchdown catch, great throw by Peterman against Houston. Of course, it was you know, lost in the pick six and the defeat. But I want to talk about Zay in a moment. It is the roundtable portion of Countdown to Kickoff brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. They have the training. All they need is you. Speaking of Bills receivers, quick little nugget. Dan Graziano from ESPN has just tweeted out, well, actually, Adam Schefter tweeted out that the Cowboys, in need of wide receivers, are doing their due diligence on Amari Cooper, the Raiders wide receiver who is reportedly available for trade. There are a number of names out there. Devontae Parker is one of them, too. Graziano tweeted moments ago, I'm told other wide receiver names the Cowboys are monitoring include Buffalo's Kelvin Benjamin and Miami's Devontae Parker. What do you want to offer for him, Dallas? He's yours. It is the roundtable portion. Let us continue our discussions on the offense. Speaking of receivers, boys, Chris, let me start with you. Zay Jones is now showing signs of improvement. He is looking better in year two. He's getting open. His catch percentage is better. That was a really nice touchdown catch he made the other day in Houston. Can you talk a little bit about what you see from Zay? Because everybody's down on Kelvin Benjamin, and you might make the case that Zay Jones is now the top target in the, you know, remedial Bills passing offense.
Well, I mean, the numbers say he is, and he is, you know, providing a little bit more in the way of production, but what do we have it to compare against?
Right.
So I think we have to take it with a grain of salt a little bit, but no, I mean, he's showing up more, he's flashing more. I still don't know if the consistency is there. He's got to line up more consistently. He's partially responsible for the illegal formation penalties last week because he's not up on the line of scrimmage. This is a simple thing that can be corrected, so hopefully it is going forward. There's got to be more there. And this guy was a second-round pick. It's year two now. He's getting a ton of playing time. Granted, it's in a new offense. So, yeah, I mean, keep on keeping on, but I would say he's got to do even more. And maybe he can do more with a veteran quarterback throwing the football around instead of one that's, you know, a little gun-shy right now.
And that comment, thank you, Chris, sets me up for the next question that I want to bring up with Mark. As you did your film study of the Colts, Mark, you know, we talk about the Bills' passing game. We know it's had a lot of problems. We already discussed what could Anderson bring to it today. If you look at Indianapolis, they have given up a ton of passing yards these last three games. Now, granted, Brady was one of those three games. But Sam Darnold was having an up-and-down rookie year, and he picked apart Indianapolis last week. 80% completion rate, 280 yards, couple touchdowns. When you look at Indianapolis and you see their pass defense, are there plays to be made? Could the Bills passing game have a, quote, good day today against them?
Yeah, I hope it's not isolated to the passing game, but there's no question there's opportunities that are presented by the aggressiveness of the young linebacking core that the Colts have. And those guys, I mean, they just come Walker and Zaire Franklin and Malik Leonard, and Darius Leonard, and they're, I mean, those guys, those linebackers are flying, particularly on first down. I might not run the ball on first down the entire afternoon. I might throw a play action pass every single time until they show that they are not going to just come screaming towards the line of scrimmage. I mean, they'll get there early sometimes and really stop your run, but there's plenty of opportunity in that intermediate space when they're in
throw
that situation.
Behind it, right?
Yeah, to get a tight end or get a slanting receiver behind there. And then on the back end, those guys, I don't think Malik Hooker is a tremendous athlete, but I don't think he's real comfortable right now reading offensive lineman configuration and trying to figure out what they're doing. So he's looking in the backfield a lot, which gives you some opportunities. I think there's some opportunities to extend it down as well. And they play a lot of quarters coverage. So you put somebody in his sight line, you get somebody in behind. There's all kinds of combinations with a hook pattern. I'd call it a 68 combination. So you run a hook right in front of him to occupy his sight line. And then you're going to bring a receiver on a post pattern in behind, or you're going to put him on a go route, or you're going to clear out from that outside and you're going to have that inside receiver run a deep 10 or 15-yard out. So there's plenty of opportunities there. There's opportunity in the screen game because of that quarters coverage. So now those corners are playing off a bit, and there's opportunities there as well. But you've got to set it up on both sides so that they're not sure which side you're running it to, and then get the ball in the hands of your playmakers. But there are plenty of opportunities, and quite frankly, I think there's some opportunities in the run game and particularly the trap game as well, using a wing back or a tight end or DeMarco.
Yeah, the Jets, Howard, I mean, they reeled off 20 unanswered points in that game last week, and Darnold was just picking them apart, like you said, and the game turned into a rout. It was 30-13 before the Colts woke up again.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm kind of I hate to use the word encouraged because it's the Bills passing game, but I'm encouraged by what might be available today for them when they put the ball in the hands of Derek Anderson. But running the ball, Mark, you brought it up a moment ago. I think most of us expect the Bills will lean on the running game today. They have been more committed to running the ball the last two games with the heavy run-oriented offense a couple of games ago against Tennessee. Let me ask you about the ground game, fellas, because, it's... They have gotten more touches from McCoy the last 2 weeks. However, as a team, their run game is still, I think it's like 3.6 or 7 yards per carry. Not that great. So, Chris, let me talk a little bit about the running game today. McCoy, that matchup against what statistically has been a good Indianapolis run defense today. What are you expecting from McCoy? How active will that run game be today for the Bills?
I think it'll be helped by the fact that the Colts don't have DeNico Autry, their starting defensive tackle. I mean, he is... really their only beefy interior lineman on the entire roster. This is a small front that the Colts employ. It's based on speed and getting after the passer, and they do that well. But if I'm the Bills, I'd be inclined to run on this team. I know that I think that's part of the reason why, which Mark pointed out, the linebackers are so aggressive. I think because that defensive line needs that support up at the first line of defense, because I think they're parted way too easily too much of the time. And without Autry in there, I think the task becomes even easier. So I think there's opportunities even in the run game, too. You want to do play action on first down like Mark wants to, I'm totally fine with that. But I think you could have a healthy dose of LeSean McCoy here to help support Derek Anderson, especially knowing that Anderson doesn't have the escapability, that Allen has to get away from trouble if the other team knows it's pass.
And it's not your typical, and I agree with Brownie, but it's not your typical, we're going to run so we can open up the pass. We're going to throw a play-action pass so we can open up the run. They play an interesting configuration as well. On certain downs, they'll play what I call just it's a double A, double C. So they'll line up both tackles in the A gap, either side of the center, and then defensive ends will line up in the C gap inside the tight end, if there's a tight end, or outside the tackle. There's a lot of space inside, and all three linebackers come flying to that spot if you start that direction. So if you start there and come back the other side, you have some great opportunities in the cutback lane and some misdirection plays. And again, like we talked about, the screen game as well can be used just as effectively as a run situation. But there's no question that they've got to be able to use the run, but they've got to set it up the right way, because if you go out on first down and try to run the football, I'd be shocked if they had any production on first down, because this linebacking core, they're going to be in the backfield before LeSean McCoy gets to the line of scrimmage. So you got to play it the right way and scheme it the right way so you loosen them up a little bit to create those running opportunities.
And read option is out of the equation this week, right, with Derek Anderson as the quarter, right?
Yeah.
That's not even part of the equation.
No. Okay. Yeah, should not be. It's not in the playbook. Strike it out. It's red line.
Good news, Mark. If there are cutback lanes available, the guy who runs for the Bills, this guy, he's good at cutting back. So this just in. That is something that obviously he's very good at.
Wait, one more thing. I'll give you one more thing, Howard, just from a strategic standpoint. So sometimes when they don't line up in that configuration that I mentioned before with the two tackles tight inside, just on the other side of the center of Russell. But so now they're going to lean to one side. So if you line up with a tight end and you're showing your heavy run to one side, they're going to slide their line that way. Mm-hmm. But if you motion a tight end across – and you back them off, they don't change the strength of the defensive line, which gives you an opportunity again. I mean, the linebackers are going to try to make that up. So they understand they're not changing it. But I think teams that defend a run are more effective defending the run if they actually slide that defensive line and get them in those positions. They do not do that, so that presents opportunities as well.
When we get back, while the Bills' offense has been struggling, the Bills' defense has been phenomenal the last four games. We'll talk about their play and the matchup today against Andrew Luck, who's looking very good this season for the Colts, despite a 1-5 record. It is the roundtable portion of Countdown to Kickoff. This is Buffalo Bills.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.